Da Bears.
What is up? It is the boys back again, Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Today is Thursday, October 14th. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right, 100 right there. The boys are back, episode 6. Say what's up to Sam.
What's up, boys and girls and all of you listeners?
What's up, Dale?
Hi, everybody.
And producer Jake.
Howdy, y'all.
And actually, a quick note from producer Jake.
Producer notes. Last week did, in fact, suck. So I'm sorry for the audio quality, but I think we might have this one figured out now. New software, but we're there. So, notes. Talking to the mic, boys.
We don't got it in the budget for new software?
New software not in the budget. We are using freeware.
I'm on my third email account with these free trials, guys.
Take it up with our account.
And actually, one of the free trials was kernel level, so like it doesn't matter how many emails I use, they know it was on my computer. I can't get rid of it.
I'm gonna pretend like I know what he just said and what that meant, so I'm just gonna move on with this.
Yeah, okay. Trust me? Yeah, me too. I laughed. I don't know what he said. Guys, Bears beat the Raiders in Las Vegas, 20-9.
Woo!
Bears victory Monday turned into Tuesday, like we said. Bears victory week. First and foremost, rest in piss, John Gruden.
Fuck him.
I would quick little scheduling change, guys. Sorry to do it on the fly. We're going to do Not That Guy right now.
Oh, yeah.
As a consensus group, John Gruden, forever and ever, you piece of fucking dog shit.
Not that guy.
It's unbelievable to me. I don't want to spend too much time because we are a Bears-focused podcast, but obviously we're NFL fans. We're fans of people, human rights, being fucking good people. And I would not put John Gruden in any of those categories.
It's honestly not surprising to me. I'm sitting there watching Monday Night Football and it comes up, I'm like, oh my god, John Gruden quit, and then they read the reason and I was like, all right, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
So I actually had the same experience. I was in Kansas City and I was watching the game and that came across, and part of me is just like, you look at John Gruden a little bit and you go, yep, okay.
Not a huge judge of book by its cover guy, but yeah, he's a coloring book, and you know exactly what you're getting.
It's inexcusable, and I know that it happened a while ago, but we're talking all about, like, and being so aware of what you say and people's feelings, and I'm all for it. Guys, like, even without the whole push right now, what he said, what he was talking about, dude, goodbye forever. Put you in a fucking rocket ship and launch you into the moon.
We're at the point now where it's 2021. The vast majority of us are kind of with it on that front. And just, it's sad to see. And I can't wait for it to be like the absolute societal norm for everyone to be really pissed off about this. We're almost there. So it's exciting.
I just love that he pissed away a 10-year, $100 million contract.
He still has like $60 million on that. He's only been in for 4 years, I think. He's maybe
not,
five.
I don't know how that works, if they still have to pay him or not.
This has to be like a cause thing. Like, I don't know.
Well, what's his face is like the owner of the Raiders is like his best friend. I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Davis like continues to pay him.
Under the table. Probably has the IT guys on the phone and he's just like, hey. Just burn the server.
Wasn't it part of the Washington
Yeah. Investigation? That's where it came from. So that's what I'm saying.
Which is just cherry on top, like
nothing to do with the race.
Yeah, we were looking over here for something, and by the way, we kind of want to talk to you about what we found. Like, it's pretty fucked up, John. Is this your email?
Well, it goes to show that, like, remember, at all times, those are the NFL's emails.
Always.
Don't you fucking forget it.
Dude.
Hey, Big Brother's watching, but when you run a multi-billion dollar corporation, I made that up, I have no idea what the number is, but I'm pretty sure it starts with a B. Like, hey, God bless you. I think you get to do that.
I guess I'll say one more thing, and then we'll get on to what really matters. The Bears just whooping some ass.
The beloved.
My biggest gripe with that whole John Gruden thing was how he resigned and what he said. If you go back and you look at his statement, he said essentially, I don't want to be a distraction to my team. Are you stupid? or do you really believe what just came out of your mouth, John?
Do you know what that's reminiscent of? Matt Nagy saying, "I'm not an idiot. I know there's an issue."
How do we get back
Matt
here?
I know. I had to bring it up one time because we're not going to do it today, but that is your equivalent of it. Right now, John Gruden, you're an idiot.
Idiot. Guys, so Bears win in Las Vegas, 20-9, outright winner. Covered the number. I hope you guys made some good money.
I did.
I know you did. I watched you place the bet, you scoundrel. So we'll kind of get into the game, guys. Dale, you want to start offense or defense first?
Offense first.
Okay, let's get into offense. Sam, what you got?
The first thing I'm going to say is that they knew exactly what they had to do to win, and that's all they did, and that's fine with me. In this instance, we ran the ball like 40 times, 43 times, something like that. And
yep.
It worked. Like, it did. So I'm good with it. It wasn't flashy. It wasn't pretty. But we did. The game plan was solid. And I'm okay with that.
So what I will give credit to is, and what we have not seen normally is – they kind of figured that out on the fly, though, because the game plan initially did not work. Those first few drives were bad. They didn't get anything done. Justin Fields couldn't make a pass. And then they quickly realized, we got to run the ball. And surprise, surprise, running the ball worked, even without David Montgomery.
Oh, shit.
Well, and to touch on that running point, guys, Khalil Herbert, out of nowhere, love me some Khalil Herbert, 18 carries, 75 yards. Damian Williams, another 16 carries for 64 yards. We are recording this, so October 14th, we got news earlier that Damian Williams is on the COVID list. So he will not be suiting up for the Bears-Packers game. So you're relying on Khalil Herbert and
Ryan Nall.
Can you say that again?
I think it's Nall. It's Ryan Nall. It's I mean,
an accountant?
Ted's
guy?
Yeah, sure. You can say that however you want to say it.
Big time more.
I'm not going to get John Gruden right now.
No, your mortgage needs.
I'm so pleased with how everything went on Sunday. And I think Jake brings up a really good point. The boys adjusted on the fly. And it goes, you can kind of tie it all into, again, I know we don't have a segment for it, but Matt Nagy is dumb. Because all season, last season, he's always talking about let's find an identity. Olin Krutz talked about it a little bit. You found your identity. He thought we were a speed, passing, quick, moving offense. Guys, we are a dirty NFC North, run the ball, play some defense, and let's have ourselves a fucking fight.
And I fucking love it.
Dude, inject it into my veins. It's what this is us.
100 cc's of that shit right to the veins.
Well, and we'll talk about the defense, but if you can continually hold teams to under 20 points, it makes it really easy for a rookie game manager quarterback to put up 20 points a game and figure it out along the way. So I really don't have too many negative things to say about the offense past week.
Yeah, Justin Fields, 12 of 20, 111 yards, one touchdown, got sacked twice. Guys, that is not a pretty game by any means. I wouldn't even call it a good game, but that's a managed game. And it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the season. If you can get Justin Fields to get out there, get these reps, get some W's, accomplish everything in the same swipe, dude, this is a win. He's getting reps, and you're winning games. Don't ask him to do everything. Hey, just go out there and don't fuck shit up.
By the way, quickly to give one of our beloved some due respect, Ryan Nall, number 35 out of Oregon State, will be our second string running back for the game after Damian Williams goes down. I always have to remember if it's him or Daryl, but it'll be Khalil Herbert, and they did bring in Jakeem Grant from the Dolphins to do returns that frees Khalil Herbert off the return team. He's focused on running the rock.
Is Damian confirmed out? Like, does he have COVID, or is he just like close contact and he has to pass negative a few times?
That was my question, because I saw he was out and I thought, I guess it depends on what Damian Williams' vaccination status is. So please go get vaccinated, by the way, guys. The Bare Minimum Podcast recommends it. I think that it's a couple – if you're vaccinated, it's only a couple days and you have to do like 3 days of negative tests. But if you're not vaccinated, it's a whole ordeal and you're like 2 weeks or something.
He is a positive test for the virus. If he's vaccinated, he'll have to test negative.
That's a good quick check right there.
24 hours apart, to be clear.
The boys.
So We'll see. We'll see.
Well, I mean, Khalil Herbert showed you enough, I think, on Sunday to where...
For sure.
If, if you put Khalil Herbert back behind... Really, it goes back to the offensive line. You get Khalil Herbert and that line blocks like they did on Sunday, I put our team up against anybody.
While you're talking about that line, there is going to be a change on that line going into the next game, correct?
Yeah, what...
If Eddie goes down, he's on IR, correct? Was he starting for us that game?
He was starting. That's our starting right tackle that we lose.
So now we will be starting, if I remember correctly, Elijah Wilkinson.
Run it to the left.
Okay, that's the answer from Jacob. But no, seriously, I mean, if you think about it personally, Effetti or Wilkinson, I'll flip a coin. I'd rather have Effetti, but at this point, it's going to be a warm big body in there that's going to block on your right side.
Well, and you guys know that I love me some offensive line play. So watching the game on Sunday, I thought it was really cool to constantly hear number 64 is reporting as an eligible receiver.
Love it.
Dude, that means instead of running two tight ends, we're going to run one tight end, and we're going to put another offensive lineman out there. He can catch it, so you might have to guard him, but we're coming at you.
I want
to
get back to the point where we're running trick plays again. Just at goal line trick plays where, I want to see Roquan Smith line up on the offense one time.
See, no, now you're giving me, like, early Trestman flashbacks.
No, that's early Nagy flashbacks.
Yeah.
Akeem Hicks scored a touchdown.
It a lot better.
Although, so I do want to bring something up. I think two or three episodes ago, Dale said that it would be Andy Dalton's best game. Statistically,
come on. Do not do this.
Statistically, he had 100 QBR. Uh-huh. He had 100% accuracy rating. It might have been his best game.
Not having it.
And I think Sam mentioned it. That might have been one of the biggest plays of the game. That conversion ends up leading to points, ends up eventually making it a 2-point game. Andy Dalton, the season savior.
We're talking about how many plays? Two plays? Am I right?
One.
One. Yeah, I'm out. Andy Dalton has played his best game already. It was a couple weeks ago.
But he did.
I'm hanging on to that. Thank you very much.
He did exactly what you needed him to do. And you can also feel good that anytime there's an injury, or if Justin Fields, God forbid, is out for more than a series and Andy comes in to play the game, you still feel okay. Like, you can do something to win. So, like, it's not terrible.
Yeah, this team kind of changes. Every week, this team changes. And I know that that's the NFL. The team changes weekly. But our perception of this team is now changing weekly as well. So, it's really, I mean, you feel a little more confident about these guys. Like, with the way that that offense played, like I said, you get back to old school Bears football. You run the ball. You don't have your quarterback do too much. And you play efficient football, that's on the offensive side. I love that.
Yeah, I think we should all love that. Anyone else chiming in on offense before we hop over?
Yeah, just really quick. One of the things that after David Montgomery went down, by the way, the speediest of recoveries for that guy. We love him on this podcast. But after he went down, one of our big things that we thought about was, can Khalil Herbert and Damian Williams fill that gap? And following last week's game, you're looking at a little over 4 yards a carry between the two of them and a touchdown, a total of 139 yards. On 34 carries, I'm going to say yes, they filled the gap. Absolutely.
They sure did.
And then some.
And we can be nothing but happy with that. Again, not too much else to put on the offense. Good for them.
I'd like to just take credit real quick and wish me congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Congrats, man.
Because I finally hit a tight end bet.
What's that? Oh, Jesper!
Jesper!
Guys,
good
for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So let's go around real quick. Jake, you got anything else?
I was just going to say, so did you have like any? Did you just hit all tight ends?
I've just been betting all tight ends. You throw $5 on everybody.
Jesper had to be the best value.
Plus 1,000.
Woo! Love that.
Unbelievable.
$1.
We think everyone should be getting paid.
So
here we go.
Let's go over grades. I would give offensive side of the ball, I mean, B minus? No, I'd say B plus, right about there. I think B, I think, is fair. You had some good success running the ball. You kept their offense off the field. I think that's going to be important with the week coming up, but we'll get into that. But Justin Fields managed a game. I was cool with it. A B.
I'm a solid B too. Again, if you can do what you have to do on offense to win, and if your defense is going to play at an A level, you're going to win a lot of games. Now, let Justin develop. That's totally fine. If this is what we get out of the offense and we can put up 20 points, solid B.
I would agree with that. I'm going B as well. The only thing that would have taken you to B plus, I might be fringe B minus here, but what would take you to B plus A minus would be Justin Fields a pass for 200 plus yards. That's what takes you towards that A category, and we just didn't have it. But that we did what we had to win, did what we needed to do to win the game.
To be fair, you didn't need to. I think you're absolutely
exactly.
Right.
That's what I'm
just
getting at.
It's the Mitch when he threw like 7 passes for 56 yards that win. If you don't have to, all that matters is if there's a W or an L at the end of the day.
Well, and that's what's nice about the run game being a success is when we do this every week because we're football meatheads. But you
correct.
Get the run going and it opens up the play action. But
with a running quarterback, it sure shit does.
With a successful running offense. You don't need to run the play actions because we know we're going to pick up 4.5-5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So you just hope that continued weekly success in the run game then opens up the pass games. Then you see those games with Justin Fields. Jake, what do you got? Give me a grade.
You guys kind of talked me into a B. I was going to say C, but really I wanted to grade Bill Lazor just because I'm going to give that guy an A. Like 2 games in a row, 2 wins. He adjusted on the fly this week. I fucking love it.
Just a job, Bill. Noticeable difference between a Matt Nagy offense and a Bill Lazor offense.
It has rhythm to it.
Well, it's Nagy's offense, but it's Bill. It's just someone else making decisions on the plays.
Yes.
So you're saying the playbook hasn't changed. It's just the order of plays that you're calling given the situation.
Yes, that's what.
Yeah, because they're not going to install a completely different offense.
And this is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. 4 guys in suburban Chicagoland, the far northwestern suburbs, saw that. Finally, Bill Lazor seeing it. And good for him. Two good games.
And I'm not saying it's easy. Like there's zero chance. You're playing high-level chess with – it's different than chess because you
a lot of
with superhumans. He said jokingly, by the way.
Because you can't control what the units do on their own. You're just trying to put them in a position to succeed, and you got to hope they do.
Yeah.
But the position that Lazor's putting these guys in, they are succeeding. Versus before with Nagy, they were not succeeding.
Yeah, Nagy was like running pass fail offense, and C's get degrees around here, so. Like, bees were thriving.
Bill averages 9 points more per game than Nagy.
Enough said.
Matt Nagy is dumb.
And on that note.
So, that's a big win, but we all know what this week is. We've felt it in our bones. We've been, that's right. We got to go defense still. Sorry about that.
Insert dolphin noise.
And no dolphin noise. Everybody will work with us through our ups and downs.
Through the reverse card.
Defense it is.
On the defensive side, guys, talk to me about how great Roquan Smith is.
He's the fucking man. I love him so much. And I was out on the defense to start the season. I said the only bright spot would be Roquan Smith. I was fucking wrong to this point. They had a couple bad games. And granted, there's been a couple shit teams we have faced, but they, for the most part, have gotten the job done throughout the game. I just fucking love them.
Sean Desai.
So
putting him in position.
So impressed.
It's crazy.
I'm very impressed by him, too.
So impressed.
It's a new age Fangio flowing kind of little bit of everything offense,
yes.
And I think it's so cool.
I think you're absolutely right because you're seeing guys like Tashaun Gibson and Trevis Gibson come in to make plays because,
yes.
Like a Fangio defense, you're keeping it fresh up front in the 7. Rotate. You know that you're going to have Khalil Mack in, Roquan in, and a couple guys on the line are solid, Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman. But you're rotating in those couple other pieces, keeping them fresh and getting after the quarterback. God, but okay, Marcos is over there roster baiting over this. It's so exciting.
It's great to see. It's so exciting. And I know I promised after episode 1 I'd keep like the dick talk to a minimum. But I was firming up pretty good just there when
it
was talking about Roquan. And lest we all forget, Akeem Hicks didn't play this past game.
You're getting contributions from these guys that the last couple years we have not gotten contributions from.
Yes.
Like, Robert Quinn. "Hey, Robert Quinn, nice to see you."
Oh, thank God.
It's and
how you been?
I don't know how it happened. He's just he looks healthy. It might literally have just been the guy's been playing through some injuries, and here he is, a different version of himself.
Two things, real quick. One, Alec Ogletree, all over the last few games. I can remember myself saying like, "Oh, all right, Ogletree, let's go." And the other thing was, I just forgot what I was gonna say.
It's okay.
Ah, damn it.
That's fine.
But there were things. There were some small little things, and I texted you guys when I was rewatching the game on Monday. There was some stuff that I normally don't pay attention to. Meathead football fan, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't get into the nitty gritty, but they were doing some things on the defensive line with those stunts. Awesome.
You got
these like super like it's the smallest detail. And it's like you'd miss it, right? And then just some of the switches that got Khalil was moving over slightly and just turning his shoulder to get in the way to free up one of the tackles. It was awesome.
Well, I think Sean Desai, one thing I noticed from watching everything on Sunday was I think he took a page out of the Browns defensive playbook, because you saw a couple times on Sunday you had Robert Quinn and Khalil on the same side of the ball.
Wow.
And there were two sacks that opened up like that, where those two sacks were from them being on the same side of the ball doing some exotic stunt package. Love that
shit. It was cool.
It's awesome. Was one of those that on the 2-point conversion attempt?
Yes.
Dude.
Which don't count as sacks, but
Khalil Mack on that play was fucking awesome. When he came off the edge and his arms, he looked like a bear. His arms were out wide, and he wrapped Derek Carr so hard and just put him in the ground. I think also, that's what I'm saying. It was his friend. I think any other outside linebacker tries to murder him, but Khalil Mack comes off the edge, has a free shot, arms out wide, and just grabs him.
Big old hug, baby.
So, the defense finishes with just over 70 yards rushing, under 300 yards total. You get pressure on the quarterback. You force a turnover in the DHC interception.
Two turnovers on downs, too.
Absolutely. The big stops as well. You're getting pressure. You're forcing turnovers. I mean, as a Bears fan, that is Bears football, am I right?
Yes.
If I tell you that before the game starts, if I told you before that Darren Waller at the end of this game is going to have four catches for 45 yards, and his first catch isn't going to come until after the first quarter, I believe it might have been second half, but right about there. But the guy had four catches. Thank you, Roquan Smith.
That's what we talked about, Roquan Smith. Awesome. That's your job. Hey, Roquan, guess what you're doing this week? That guy's name is Darren. Have fun.
It was actually being split a couple times from what I watched. It depended on what side of the field Waller was on.
Correct.
But when Roquan was on him, there was like a pass interference call too. But that
That one was tough too.
Yeah, actually, that might not have even been.
No, it was on Roquan, okay. And he had.
It
a
was
tough
on
play.
Roquan, but I don't think it was Waller. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I get
I
what you're
it was
saying.
A different receiver, but either way, it was fantastic. That's the bottom line.
Anything else you guys want to talk about defensively?
Grades?
I'll go first. Guys, this is an A defense. Like I said, if you can play A defense and B offense, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Sub 10 points. That's an easy A for me.
Yeah, that's an A every single time. And I'm so serious. If our defense plays like this, I don't think it matters what our offense looks like to an extent, but if the defense plays like this, we're in every game.
C minus. I'm just
wake up.
It was an A. Oh.
The curve. Yeah, I'm an A as well. I mean, I don't think we'll ever give an A plus here unless you hold them
if
at
zero. If they get zero.
But an A.
Shutouts and playoffs.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Answer.
Go ahead.
Do the Bears own the Death Star now?
Real quick, had a chance to drive by it last weekend. It looks so fucking cool.
Now imagine that in Arlington.
Guy, that's. Oh, sorry, that was me hitting the bottom.
Producer, no, don't fucking hit the table.
Producer Jake's mean.
Rude guy.
I'm from the pictures that I saw and from what people have talked about that were at the game, from everything that I heard, it's incredible. Like, amenities inside, the look, there's stuff to do outside. Crazy. All right.
Now John Gruden has to buy tickets to go there, so.
Fuck that guy. He can't go back.
Bam.
So, I had a little premature, elation, because I am geeked for this Bears-Packers week. Meat and cheese week.
Celebration.
Meat and cheese week.
Meat and cheese week.
Yeehaw.
So, Bears are in Chicago?
Yes. We are home.
We're home.
Noon, we alternate every game.
Yeah.
Home, away, home, away.
Oh,
home.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
Whoa, okay.
Home, away.
So we're so we're home.
Samuel,
we don't own the rights.
What's the line on that game?
I think it's just them by like 5, I want to say. Packers by 5.
If that, wait, we're only getting 5?
We're getting 5.5.
That's not enough.
Yeah.
It's single. It has to just be because of the Packers defensive players.
We're on our RB3.
We are on our RB3, but the Packers are without right Jair Alexander. They're without Za'Darius Smith. They're without David Bakhtiari. They're without Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They're without a lot of pieces right now. But 5's not that many.
Let me pose a question to the three of you.
Please do.
In the last 10 years, mm-hmm. how many times have we beaten the Packers?
7, twice.
I'm going to say like 3 times.
The answer is 3.
Jay Cutler was one of them.
That's 3 out of 20.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler's 3 out of 20?
No.
No.
Oh, I thought you were about to say.
Mitch beat him once, right? Didn't we? Yes. We won on like Thanksgiving or like in. No, yeah. It was Brett Favre Day. Wasn't it Brett Favre Day?
Oh, it was Brett Favre Day.
That was the greatest day of my life.
It was Thanksgiving also, I believe.
Day wasn't the greatest day of your life.
I used to have family.
That was a fun day.
From the stories that I've heard, fuck Brett Favre. He's kind of an asshole. He would, I'm not going
to. I'd like to see his emails.
Because he sent his pee-pee pictures to.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that's what he's doing?
So go to bars and just turn around, chuck his keys back. Whoever caught his keys, you're coming home. Let's go.
I mean.
When you're Brett Favre.
When you're John Gruden.
Don't hit the table. So his emails.
Yeah, don't hit the table.
So one thing that I am really excited about this week, guys, is that for the first time in the last couple matchups, and I'll take them where I can get them, the Packers look like a beatable team. And I'll take injuries where I can. But Packers look like we could get this game. You're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to play another efficient game. But this looks like a winnable game for the beloved.
For the beloved, you have 2 people the entire game. You have Devontae Adams and you have Aaron Jones. If Aaron Rodgers is going to beat you with insert name wide receiver here, sure. But don't let it be Devontae Adams. Double him if you have to. Don't let it be Aaron Jones. Roquan, you have 1 job. What else do they have?
Jalen has a job this week.
Jalen and a safety.
Jalen has the biggest task on this team this week, and it's attempting to stop Devontae Adams.
What about Roquan Smith on Aaron Jones?
That's also a thing, but I would be more concerned about Devontae.
Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah.
I would have to imagine, and I just thought of this right now, I would have to imagine that, like most things, the Packers have to be thinking about, like Packers fans and the Packers, I mean, obviously the players, but they have to be thinking about how good this defense is. We're not just pumping this up, right? Like, this is actually a good defense, and they should be intimidated by us.
Absolutely. I mean, if I look at the 2 sides, I think Bears defense, given all the injuries on the Packers team, is about even with the offense on the Packers, and the Bears offense is maybe a little better than the Packers defense, given all the injuries.
Yeah, man, I'm just not comfortable. I'm like really comfortable saying a lot of these things just because of like,
that's based on past trauma. It's 2021.
So
we're way past this now. Like, if you objectively look at the Packers, I'll give you Aaron Rodgers, and that means a lot. But that offensive line is not what we're used to, and our pass rush has been great. They have 1 receiver right now, and you can say, Eddie, Jalen, you got 1 fucking job. They have one running back. Roquan, you've got one fucking job, and he's been able to do that all year.
Oh, dump right real quick right to Roquan from last week against the Raiders. That stop he had on fourth down where he just ran through Derek Carr, who tried to QB sneak, and he just plugged the hole, was just awesome.
That's what I'm saying. I think you have a shot there. Like, if you remove those two weapons, Aaron Rodgers has to beat you with Robert Tonyan and, again, insert name receiver.
See, Dale, like, I agree with you. I see it that way, and Marcos sees it that way. But Jake's like a dog rescued from a southern trailer park and, like, shoveled up north. And, like, if you raise your hand too fast near him, like, sudden movements, he's just going to... Like, he just cowers.
If you lifted a picture of Aaron Rodgers and showed it to me, I'd be like, ah!
He'd just shudder and, like,
two for flinching.
I mean, it's warranted. I get it. But like Dale said, have the ability to look at this objectively. I think that we're getting them at a good time, and I think that this defense can hold its own against anybody.
Real quick, talk to me about their defense versus our offense.
Yes. I like that. So I think that this game is important to get good. How am I trying to say this? I don't think Justin Fields can just be a game manager this game. You can game manage against teams like the Raiders and the Lions and people like that. But when you go up against these offenses that are going to put up points, we know that Green Bay is going to score with insert no-name receiver here. Aaron's going to put up points. So we might have to lean on Justin a little more and obviously have a good running attack and some good offensive line play too.
Well, the only thing that's concerning about that is that Packers' offense can score quickly because they're big play driven, and the Bears' offense just doesn't. You have to grind out any score that you get with this Bears offense. So you're really relying on that defense to give you another A performance. If so, you got a shot, and a really good one, to be honest.
Are the Packers a big play offense still?
With Devontae, yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers
Aaron, I think so.
Yeah, if he has any sort of time, Devontae is going to be open, and he's going to get the ball. And it's going to be a chunk play if he has any sort of time.
Got to get to Aaron.
Yeah, and that's something I'm looking at here right now is that, you know, the Bears' defense is still rounding into form, like still like finding itself here. And we have 18 sacks on the season, and the Packers are sitting at 10. And I know they're banged up at pass rusher, which is our opportunity.
Does 18 still lead the league?
That's what I was looking up right now.
I didn't have that pulled up, but we're at 18 right now. They're at 10, and you know that's because Smith's not playing. So it's like we have a chance here. And our offensive line has a chance to continue to, like, look good in pass protection.
If we win this game,
still leading sacks per game.
If we win this game, all bets are off for me. I'll lose it.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Sponsor us!
One underrated thing, I don't know if you guys have kind of looked into this. Mike Pettine is an assistant.
Who?
Mike Pettine is an assistant to Sean Desai. He was last year's Green Bay defensive coordinator, or 2 years ago, I believe.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm just saying, any little bit that we can get,
hell yeah,
I will take.
We play him twice a year. We know who the Green – like, everybody on that team knows who the Green Bay Packers are.
I'm grasping at straws, Jake. Jake.
Are they who we thought they were?
Let them be great.
All right, what do we got left?
Well, so we talked about Kyrios Kairos.
Oh, again, like, we cannot say enough good things about that guy continuing that streak. Real quick, I heard a good segment, and this was a good question. Best Bears kicker of all time. Given this current streak, does he rival Robbie?
No.
I can't believe you
I heard it.
Podcast
so
is over.
Podcast. We actually have to delete it.
Thanks for coming, guys. The Bare Minimum Podcast.
We'll catch you later.
Yeah, right.
Add us on MySpace.
Tell us what a trap game is, and then I'll listen.
But
to
yeah, no. Takes. Yeah, no. Robbie Gould's the GOAT. Retire his number. He's the all-time leading scorer for the Bears.
Kevin Butler has a ring.
Okay.
Oh my God! Come on. I love Butthead. But
doesn't
come
Shane
on,
McManus
man.
Have a ring? Or who went to the Packers? Sherrick McManus. Who was
Fuck. Sherrod McManus was a special team.
Who's the damn linebacker?
Oh, yeah.
Shane McClellan! Guys, this is my second Shane McClellan reference.
Goes to the Patriots, gets a ring doing...
No, he started on that team.
He started on that team.
He was a role guy. He was a role guy. He was on the field in that during the Malcolm Butler interception.
He did. He started for that team. Anyway, we got. This is my fault. I'm the one to blame here.
Sorry for everyone who bought tickets to this train.
We love Cairo.
We have
Egypt.
Do we have Dilf's Trap Game of the Week?
We do.
We're definitely doing.
Buddy, you do all the research you can right now, my friend.
But that's going to be last. We need to roll this Packers preview right into We Win If.
This is tough.
Who's ready?
It's on the spot.
All right. Very simply, given the last couple weeks and the offense under Bill Lazor, we win if you hold the Packers under 20. That's it. I don't think there's another argument otherwise.
I like that one. I think that's going to be most of our games. Defense holds somebody under 3 touchdowns, and we somehow score 3 touchdowns.
Why not us, though? Why can't we go out there and put up 30 points?
I would love to. I would love to put up 30. We just haven't.
We have a game-managing rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I know, and
He's growing. I think he'll get there.
I'm not mad. I'm not, like, upset with you guys or anything, but it's just my life as a Bears fan. It's like, fuck, man. I want to go out there and, like, I don't want the game plan to always have to be, well, we have to keep them under 20. Like, no. We have to go score 49. What about that?
Modern NFL offenses.
That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sick.
Like a Charger Browns game.
We win if Justin Fields rushes for 50 yards.
Wait, I did this last week.
And throws for 2 touchdowns?
I had 2 in a rushing.
Oh.
And he ended up throwing 100 yards, and I don't know how many rushing yards he had.
That's 3 rushing yards.
3 for 4.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Close 4. Enough, right? I think that, and I won't get too into this, but I think that a big portion of your success is going to come from Justin Fields' ability at this point. Establish the running game, and like we said, open up the play action, get your tight ends moving down the seam, make me some money, and we're going to have a great, great Sunday. I hate the Packers so fucking much.
We win if we get to Aaron Rodgers. I need him on the ground. Do not let him have time in the pocket.
Given the injuries on that line, I think you have a chance at that. I think you really do.
Bury him.
Yes, sir.
Bury him.
Oh, that was clever as hell. All right, guys. We win if Shailene Woodley...
Don't you speak ill on my girl.
Hold on real quick. Just so everyone listening knows, Marcos, for at least since she was... Since Divergent came out, since before Divergent, Marcos has been on Shailene Woodley for years.
Marcos, she's the hero in those movies for you.
Uh-huh.
She could be our hero on Sunday. That's all I'm saying.
How do you think?
She just needs to show up, scowl at Aaron, convince him to go to Hawaii. He leaves at halftime.
I'm thinking a little daytime sabotage, a little daytime mutiny. Ooh. Try to get a little hanky-panky right before you show up to the field.
Give him to blow his wad early.
And she moves a little, breaks his dick off.
I was just trying to fuck with Marcos. But in all seriousness, I was just going to echo Jay. I know I'm a broken record. This is like my thing every week. Hmm. But if Aaron Rodgers has no time to throw the football, if we get him to have to get rid of the football in under a second, we win. Ooh. We win if Aaron Rodgers.
That's really tough.
That's really tough.
Call Myles Garrett and learn that teleportation move.
When he teleports.
I want him playing Portal. I want our defensive line to have Portal guns.
And now you're thinking with Portals.
Yes. All right. Moving on. Sorry.
Did everybody give their we win if?
Yep.
Okay. Again, I cannot stress it enough, guys. This is Bears-Packers week. Like, we could win 2 games all season, like Lovie Smith said. First thing, I want to beat Green Bay twice. And then I want to win the division. And then I want to win the Super Bowl.
Winning tonight kickstarts division talk.
Oh, yeah. Lake Michigan.
Or not Bowl. Tonight, but
well,
Sunday.
I was like, oh shit.
Well, winner of the game has sole possession of first place because both teams would be
head to head. Head to head. Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Is Game of Thrones a thing again?
Fuck the Packers.
Are we back to that?
Is no, Game never Thrones again. Close? They D&B.
So no battle of the North.
Prequel's coming.
Right, okay, I just was checking to see if it's actually back because I'm talking like Battle of the North.
I don't.
Moving on.
I don't know what is going on.
It's all right, man.
I just won't watch it anymore.
All is forgiven.
What?
Guys.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today
to
ask Dale what a trap game is.
I think I have one.
My favorite segment of the week, Dale's Trap Game of the Week.
So I really...
Trap Game of the Week.
Trap Game of the Week.
I really,
Trap Game of the Week.
I really think I figured it out. I really think I do.
I hope you do.
Can you give us some insight into how you
made
this decision?
I mean, and I'm ready to be hurt. Okay. Marco, sit down. Sam, sit down, goddammit. Anyway, so here's my trap game. Sunday, October 17th at 3:25 p.m.
Okay.
The Cowboys play the Patriots.
Who's at home?
The Patriots. I think this is a... is it not the Patriots? Is the Cowboys at home?
No, okay.
No, you're right. You are right with everything you said except one thing, and that's choosing that game.
But give me a reason why.
Yeah, give me why you think.
I think that people believe in the Patriots' defense and, like, the Cowboys are an awful defense. It's just a high-powered offense. If you can stop the offense, you'll win. Like, I just don't think that's true at all for the Patriots in this game, though. I think the Cowboys...
Hold on. One more... Recap so that.
Guys, I still don't
get
it.
No.
So I think people believe in the Patriots' defense.
Trap game of the week.
I think that's just nonsense.
Does Vegas believe in their defense?
I don't know.
So get me there, Dale.
I think, man, you're so close.
Dude, I think...
Am I almost there?
You're so close, but you're just a little off.
You've gotten closer every week.
I can't tell if you're guessing and you've just, like...
given up?
Kind of stumbled into maybe a correct answer.
No, like, I gave you my reasoning. I think this is what it is.
I think your answer is okay.
So let me ask you this.
Your choice of game is okay, but I think your reasoning is off base.
Yes.
Do you think... we're heading into week 6. By midway through the season, we'll call it week 8. Do you think I have it figured out by week 8?
No.
If you give us the explanation that you gave us today, next week, there's no way you figure this out by week 8.
Absolutely.
You guys remember the game or whatever? There was that thing where you'd say like 10 different things, and then the person next to you would be like, well, it's this. And you just fuck with people the whole time, and everyone would pretend like they knew what was going on. That's what's happening right now.
And that was
Dale's Trap Game of the Week.
I promise I'm trying.
It's my favorite, guys. So that's going to be a wrap for episode 6. We are officially on Spotify. Give us a like, follow, download some episodes, subscribe.
Shout out to our boy Cole for hooking us up with just the sickest look.
It's the best.
Cole is fantastic. He does such good work. I highly, highly recommend. If you got any projects that you're working on, he is incredible.
If you need a graphic design for contract work or otherwise, shout out or send a message to the podcast. We will hook you up with a very talented
person. I'll drop his ads in the description.
And Jake, cut this in like 2 seconds after the bear down portion, because I'm just going to show Dale the two games.
Oh no, I don't want him to. So guys, I hope you enjoy Bears Packers. I hope everybody.
I think everybody enjoys.
And on that note,
it's a great week, guys. Bear the fuck down. Let's go whoop some ass.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Fuck the Packers.
Haha.
I still don't fucking get it.
Yeah.